Hey everyone, welcome to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, here with Mark Stopher. This is episode six of his series, and he's been joining us and spreading information, his inspiration based on his learnings from the Bible. I am honored to be here with him today. He is in Ohio. I'm in Canada. We were just talking about the weather and how different it is there to here. But we do have one thing in common, and that's the desire to get our message heard. And Mark has a message. He is the writer of these amazing books. He's written two books, working on the third. He will talk to us a little bit about that later on, but he really heard a message from God, which changed his life. Today, we're going to talk about Daniel chapter six, about Daniel's emergence alive from the lion's den. And I don't want to go too much into it because Mark's going to tell the story. Before we get started, I just want to thank Spreaker and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And I also want to thank our audience. Without you, we cannot grow, we cannot thrive. And if you could just take a second to hit that like and subscribe button. That's all we ask from you, and we would appreciate it so much. Mark, it's really good to see you and meet you, and I'm excited about this episode. How's it going out there?
I'm doing great. It's quiet in the house right now, so my daughter's out swimming, and but everything's just fine. As we talked about the weather, it's spring, which I love, and we're all healthy, we're all happy, so.
That's the magic. I think that's, when you're all feeling good, life is good. And I don't take those days for granted. Amazing.
It's good to meet you today too, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this is so fun. I'm excited to learn more about you. And I know the audience is too. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm just an American guy. I love sports and so on, and grew up in the Midwest, live in the Midwest still my whole life, and I recently retired as a civil engineer. So, I'm married. I have a son and a daughter who are grown. But my daughter has special needs. That's why I say she's swimming right now with my wife because she still lives with us. But so I'm just a typical American guy. But what's special is that when I graduated from college, it was a rough economic time. They come and they go, and that was one. And I was just laying in the house. I didn't have any money, and but I still had I had a commitment on my lease, and I had to live there another 6 months. And probably not the smartest move I made to sign that long of a lease. But I graduated. I didn't have a job, and I didn't have any money. And it was at that moment, so I was 22, and it was at that moment that God reached out to me in my heart in a really in a miraculous way. And I'm not going to try and explain that, but I'm sure he's done this with many people. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's there. It's palpable and you know it. And it's real. And he did that for me. And I cracked the door of my heart open a little bit and said yes a little bit, very sheepishly. I didn't say, "Come on in, God." But I'm like, "Who are you?" And what do you want me to do? And and there is where it began for me. And I became a Christian, and I love the Bible, and I've studied it for decades. And I felt that he was calling me 6 or so years ago to write some books, and so I've done that. So I've written in specifically books to Jewish people about the Old Testament and how strongly it foreshadowed Jesus, so that they can read that and go, "Oh my gosh, it is." At one point, he was talking with some Jewish people, religious scholars, and he said, "That book's all about me." And so, in my books, I'm examining a number of features from the Old Testament, which, of course, Jewish people don't call the Old Testament. They only have that book, they call it the Tanakh. And I examine a number of features from the Tanakh to see how strongly does it predict Jesus? Was he right? So that's the subject of these books.
Wow. What a journey you've been on. That moment changed the whole trajectory of the rest of your life, which is beautiful.
And not just studying the Bible, but everything about me. I wouldn't have met the wife I have without my faith. She's a Christian, and our marriage, every marriage is wonderful and also challenging. And I just don't have a lot of confidence in who I was that our marriage would have lasted. That's a strong statement, but I credit God with how wonderful our marriage is today, and that it lasted, and really just everything in my life.
Beautiful. So let's get into the topic for today. I know you were really, called to talk about chapter six, Daniel. Can you explain to the audience what that means, what it's about? And then the floor is yours, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. First of all, I love the book of Daniel. It's my favorite book in the Bible. I love the man Daniel with such integrity and so good and loved God. And then so that's who he is. And then he had an amazing life. And then God gave him, some of the greatest prophecy in the Bible. There's Isaiah's great, and Jeremiah, but Daniel, the prophecy is just tremendous. And things that have most of those prophecies came to pass. So, but when we come to chapter six, it's not a prophecy, it's an event from Daniel's life, and it's famous. Maybe almost everybody's heard of it in America and Canada. And this is a story where Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. In the evening, and God closes the mouths of the lions. They do not harm him. And then he's lifted out in the morning. And it's a famous story. It's in children's books about the Bible. But it's really misses the mark, because in the children's books, in the back of my mind, and everybody, we've seen these pictures of these lions that are smiling, and they're like Fisher Price lions, and they're cute, and Daniel's this cute guy. But that's not what happened. The lions were very real, and God held them back, and Daniel had to be very scared. So first of all, we usually they don't teach about this story in church, or for adults. We don't hear Bible teachings on it. It doesn't fit with most of the rest of Daniel. Most of the rest of Daniel are these prophecies. Amazing. And this isn't a prophecy, it's an event. And I was reading it not too many years ago, and I had read it before, but I was reading it, and all of a sudden the words lifted off the page for me, and I saw, oh no, this is a very deep meaning. And there's actually 6 points that are strong parallels with 6 points in Jesus's death and resurrection. And so, number one, Daniel was a godly man, and they actually was living in captivity in the Persian kingdom, and he was but he was just a godly man who was not seeking anything for himself, money or power or anything. But he was a good man, and the king was a good man. And Daniel rose up very high in the government, one of the top three people under the king. And a lot of other, there were, this was an empire, the Persian Empire, covered much of what we would call the known world at that time. And there were a lot of other leaders, but they were lower than of provinces, but they were lower than Daniel, and they were jealous of him. And so they put a made a plot to bring him down, and they flattered the king, and the king received it. And they said, King, other leaders, other emperors, people bowed down to them. And they said, we want you to pass a law for 1 month that no one will worship any other god. And at that time, most of the gods were mythological gods that even they knew were, I don't know, demigods or I don't know. They weren't very impressive. So they're like, no one bows down to their god for a month. People just bow down to you. And the king thought about it and signed the bill, signed the law. Well, this was all a plot to bring Daniel down because they knew Daniel was a man of God who, and they knew he prayed. He had to leave meetings to go and pray every day. He prayed at certain times. And the king didn't realize they were pulling a trick on Daniel. So he signed this law. But even though he was a absolute monarch in the Persian Empire, they had this thing where once the king signed a law, he could not revoke it because they didn't want, they realized for some reason that it's not good to have kings going back and forth on laws. So once the king realized what happened, he couldn't rescind it. So anyway, they caught Daniel praying and they went and told the king and he had to follow through. So Daniel was going to be executed and they did that by putting him in, lowering him down in a cave with full of a den of lions and placed a boulder over the opening and the king placed his official seal over it so no one could tamper with it. And the next morning, now the king knew about Daniel's faith and about Daniel's God. And the next morning he ran to see, is there any way that Daniel's God might have saved him? And Dan and God did save Daniel. And so they brought Daniel up out of there and he was just fine. Now, I read that and it's an amazing story. And what do you think of it? You know, I never really knew, but then one day it hit me. Oh my gosh, point by point, that is what happened to Jesus. The other leaders, while they detested Jesus, the Jewish religious leaders, but they were also jealous of him. Jesus was drawing massive crowds of people, and no one was following the Jewish religious leaders like that. They were following them in a religious sense because they felt like they were supposed to, but there were no massive crowds, so they were jealous. And everyone knows, you know, when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, and they didn't trick Pontius Pilate, but they were very pushy and said no, he was the Roman governor and he was the one that would assign an capital punishment, and they were really pushing him. No, Dan, they said Jesus is causing trouble. And so finally he said, everybody famously knows, I wash my hands of this, because he was pushed into it. Well, that really isn't good enough, because he could have put his foot down and taken a stand. But the point for what I'm talking about is that the religious leaders pushed him into it. And then in Jesus' case, he was killed. But they placed him in a hewn out tomb, not in a hole in the ground, but a hewn out tomb. And they placed a boulder, this, see how these details line up, a boulder in front of it. And the Roman governor put his seal over it. And so as you read it, you realize the language is very similar. And it wasn't the next day, but 3 days later, Peter and John and Mary went to the tomb and they didn't think he was alive, but they just wanted to see what was happening. And lo and behold, Jesus was out of the tomb and Mary met him. She thought he was the gardener and she walked by him, but it was Jesus. And so just as Daniel came out alive, Jesus came out alive, only it was 3 days later. So I realized that, so why in this great book of prophecy is this story, not that it wasn't real, but why is it in this book? And it was there because it was not a prophecy, but a foreshadowing of something that is tremendously important in Christianity, which is the resurrection. So that's what I wanted to share. That's the story.
So there's a lot of similarities between those two stories. So what is the deeper meaning to you when you read that story? What does that mean to you on a deeper level in a way that inspires you? Because you said it's your favorite story. So why is it your favorite story?
Well, it's actually the Book of Daniel's my favorite book, but
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite story, but number one, I love it because God implanted hard evidence of prophecy and things and the predate of many events that have already happened, and some events that still are remain in the future for the end of time. But many things about the crucifixion. Not only were there these prophecies, but also we have copies of the prophecies that predate Jesus. So we have hard evidence, and they're about his crucifixion. This is about his resurrection. But as you read it yourself, I mean, it's one thing to hear me, but as you read it yourself, you see the connection and you realize that it's evidence for God. It's evidence for people to believe this message of the Bible and believe in Jesus. So that's a deep meaning that God, that unlike other religions, God has evidence to believe it. So I think that's very important. It's very important to my faith, and I want to share that with other people. And when I did become a Christian, the first things I learned in the Bible were from the Book of Daniel and were prophecy, and I knew in my heart this is real. So that's important. Another thing, though, is that is inspiring is that Daniel was such a godly man. And by that, I don't mean a religious man, you know, that was maybe pushy with his faith, but a godly man who God was the foundation of his life. And he was a beautiful man, and people loved him, not people that were jealous of him, but everybody else. And part of that was an honesty and an integrity and a bravery. So when this law passed, he said, "Well, no, I'm not going to bow down to the king as if he was a god. I'm going to keep praying to the real God that I know." And he did that, and he didn't change anything. He'd always done it in his house, and you know, it's hot there where he was, and he always had the windows open, and he just kept doing that. Not to be rebellious, but there are certain things you don't walk out on, no matter what a law is, you know, and that's true today too, depending where you live. And so he did that, and he wound up paying for it with the ultimate price. God interceded, but I think that's true today too. I think that in this world, there's things that if you're a Christian that you need to stand up for. Society's really changing, right? And you know, there's things that you can say, okay, I don't need to comment on that. People can make their own adult choices and live how they want, and that's their business. But then there's sometimes where you say, well, that's a bridge too far, that I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm not going to say nothing. Example that comes to my mind, like with the transgender, that's fine. Adults can choose that. But I, and here in America, I don't like them. We call it grooming, or, you know, teaching children, young children about it. They shouldn't be teaching children anything about it, about sexuality. So I'm going to stand up and use my voice to try to protect our children. I don't want them to teach my values about sexuality. I don't want them to teach anybody's values. Leave that up to the parents. Let young children be innocent. And parents
Yes.
can teach, that's parents' job. And so I'm going to take that stand. And, you know, and so there's sometimes where we need to stand up for things. And so Daniel was that kind of a guy. And I think the other area would be for Jesus. Sometimes Jesus gets a bad rap, and you know, or God. And we need to clarify, no, God is loving. Jesus died for us. You don't have to receive it, but you can. He's offering that to you. He did that out of love. And when he was here, people loved it. It was just like Daniel. People loved Jesus. People that he met on the streets, the people that were closest to him just absolutely loved him. He was wonderful. And then in the end, he did the most brave thing. You know, In war, sometimes someone will jump on that live grenade to save his buddies, and that's just so heroic. But Jesus did that, but beyond, because it took 6 hours of excruciating agony on the cross to pass away, you know? So he jumped on that grenade, and so he did it for people. He was innocent. He did it for me. I'm not innocent, and for everybody. So I just, and he gets a bad rap sometimes, and people don't understand him. And you can make fun of Christians. Some Christians are hypocrites. Heck, maybe all of us to some degree. I don't know, but and they do wrong and act silly and different things. And some of them are very wonderful people too. And you can make fun of us, but don't misunderstand who Jesus is. All he's pure love. So I think we need to take that stand if we're in a conversation where we don't need to argue or get upset, but we need to stand up for our faith. Sometimes we can let things go, a lot of times, but sometimes we need to take a stand. So I get that out of this passage, and that's what I get out of Daniel 6.
Beautiful. I ironically was listening to a song that was titled Hypocrite this morning, and that thought went through my mind is, I think we're all hypocrites on some level. We all strive to do certain things a certain way, and we have intentions, but it's just human nature. We're human, and we can't be the same all the time. So we change moment to moment. But I like what you said about needing to speak up when the time is right and to speak our truth and be honest. Because I think like the ultimate lesson is just that, is like we need to speak our truth and use that to inspire other people to do the same thing and allow each other to kind of live their lives. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you said it very well. I agree. And yeah, we need to speak up with respect and gentleness, but stand for what we believe. And it is inspiring when I see other people do that.
So talk to us about your books. You wrote two books. The third one is almost done, which amazing. It's so exciting. So I might mispronounce it. So the first one is called Hesed. Okay, talk to us about that one. What was its inspiration? What is it about? And then we'll go on to the second one, which is called the Mashiach.
Mashiach.
Mashiach. Okay, perfect.
And
So Hesed.
if I was Jewish, there would be more of a Mashiach kind of thing, which I'm butchering that, but they include that appropriately. But so they're all part of a series, actually, and there's going to be a fourth one
Okay.
eventually too, but
Beautiful.
they're all part of a series, and they're all based on John 5:39, which I kind of mentioned earlier, where Jesus was talking to the religious leaders, and he said, "You guys speak about your scriptures," and he said, "You seek eternity in them," and then he said, "They speak about me." So that's John 5:39, and so this my series is based on that and different aspects of the Old Testament. And the first book looks at the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. And then I look to see how closely does that actually parallel with what Jesus did on the cross. Was it a prequel of what he would do, or is it just unrelated? And the second aspect are I look at this story in Daniel, it's in the first book. And some other people that there's a very, in my mind, there's a very strong foreshadowing between other lives, key people's lives in the Old Testament, and then Jesus's life. And then the second book is about messianic prophecy. Did Jesus fulfill those prophecies? How strongly? The third book, which I'm writing now, has been a lot of work, but I've enjoyed it. But I've been working hard. I look at God's plan in the Old Testament. He has a plan ever since Adam and Eve fell, a plan to restore them and restore mankind, a rescue plan. And I go through the Old Testament and I look through and I see as that plan develops throughout the Old Testament, which is, written over a long span of time, does Jesus fulfill that plan? And then the fourth and final book will actually be a literary analysis of the Old Testament, because the Old Testament ends and it's incomplete. All these thread lines open up early in the in Genesis, but when we get to the end of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, none of them are fulfilled. So the implication is that there would be a sequel. So I look and see, does the New Testament answer those open plot lines? Does it mesh with the Old Testament? Is the Old Testament a prequel to the New Testament? So that's the and that's kind of fun to write, and it's half written already, and hopefully fun to read. So that won't be out for a year or two, but that's the fourth book.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So where can we find your books?
So you can go to Amazon and search on my name, Mark Stopher. And the title of the first one is Hesed, Hesed. But it might be easier just to go to my website, which is one word, loving kindness of Adonai.com. Adonai is Adonai, loving kindness of Adonai. And if you go there, I have some excerpts from chapters in the first three books. And also, the books are on audio tape, and I have audio excerpts you can listen to there as well. And then there's just a link that will send you to Amazon. So that might be easier.
I love that you said audio tape. You took me back in time. It was very nostalgic of you.
I meant
Audio tape.
audiobook.
Oh yeah. Love it. Love it. So if you were to, leave the audience with some last words on this topic, what would that be?
Oh wow. Just from what we've been talking about, what I've said is that if Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, at least crack the door a little bit and give him a chance. And he's watching you. He's watching me right now, and he's watching you, Lisa. He's watching all of us, and he loves us. So give him a chance.
Beautiful. It was really, really great to get to speak with you today. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
And to our audience, what inspiring message Mark had to share with us today. If you have yet to check out the other podcasts that he did, please make sure to go back and go over them because there's so much more. As you know, the Bible is full of such depth and information, and there's a lot to talk about and very inspiring. We will have links to Mark's information in the show notes for you. But thank you for tuning in. My name is Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor, and this is Mark Stopher. Until next time, take care and be well, everyone.